Ben Selinski, you're joining us now from Capital News, Illinois. Ben, as always, good to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks for having me, John.
You do great work there at Capital News. Remind people what that is. It's a nonprofit newsroom, right?
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit. We're wire service, just like the AP is. But, with our nonprofit status, we provide all of our stories for free to any partner newsrooms around the state.
And you do excellent work on it. Every time we chat on the air, people say, oh, I got to get to that website and check it on out, which is it's good. I mean, I think it's important to understand what's happening in our state capitals. I don't know if it was by design, but a lot of state capitals are not near the main metro areas. They're, you know, geographically in the middles of the state, which made sense when they made state capitals a thing way back in the day. But for a lot of states, the media coverage isn't maybe as extensive as it could be. And you guys are helping to bridge the gap.
Yeah, exactly. So we have partners in Chicago, but also some of those small papers downstate are some of the most important customers of ours.
All right. So the legislative sessions, we're kind of between them, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a slow time of year, but there's still a lot going on, it seems like.
And when does the fall legislative session begin?
Yeah, so lawmakers will be back, I think it's October 14th or 15th, right in the middle of the month. So they'll be back for 3 days in the middle of October. They'll be off another week, and then they'll be back three more days at the end of October. So it's very short, but usually a lot of stuff can get done in some of those, you know, short days.
And the change here for the session that comes up in October is that it's, correct me if I'm wrong, please, that it no longer is majority rule, right?
It is still majority rule. You still need the supermajority vote to get legislation across the finish line. So it still can be a little tricky to pass votes. That supermajority rule applies all the way up until January 1st. So things like transit that we've talked about, there's going to need to be a lot of consensus to get something big like that done.
Okay, well, rest up, because you're going to have a busy October then, which will include appearances on Let's Get Legal, of course, Ben. So keep us in mind, all right?
Of course.
All right, let's get to some of the stuff that has been happening. A lot of speculation about the governor's race, and Darren Bailey, according to your sources, is entering the Republican primary despite losing to J.B. Pritzker by 13 points, huh?
Yeah, you know, this wasn't something that was really on our radar for much of the year. We kind of thought Darren was going to sit this out, maybe, you know, wait for maybe a more open race when J.B. Pritzker is not on the ballot or something. But in the last couple weeks to the last month or two, Darren's really just been kind of weighing the options on the Republican side of the ticket, which right now is very small. There's, you know, only three candidates who are in this race. So I think Darren has just made the calculation that he provided a lot of excitement for Republican voters in 2022, and he thinks he can capitalize on it again. Is he going to get close to J.B. Pritzker? We'll have to see what kind of new strategy he brings out.
Yeah. I mean, he's a former state senator, we all remember, and could maybe point to some flaws in his campaign. I know there was a lot of comments he made about Chicago, and then it was later revealed, if I remember correctly, there was an apartment he had in Chicago where he was spending a lot of time in the city. That's obviously not crux to the whole argument that I know he's making and his policies. So do we have any, because he's not a state senator right now because he had to, he ran for governor. So what's he been doing the last couple of years?
Yeah, so he ran for Congress, actually. He primaried Representative Mike Boss in the southernmost district here in Illinois. Mike Boss has been in Congress forever. He's extremely popular down there. He's very popular in Washington as well. A lot of people like Mike Boss. Darren Bailey had some gripes that I guess Mike Boss just wasn't conservative enough, even though he is a very hardcore conservative himself. So he primaried Mike Boss, came up about 2,700 votes short, which was, I think, 4 or 5 percentage points, if I remember correctly. Donald Trump actually endorsed Mike Boss, even though Trump endorsed Bailey in the governor's race. So Darren's been around the political scene, but he really just hasn't found success, even though, you know, his profile grew so big during the pandemic, challenging mask mandates and other stuff.
Who else is he going to be running against in the Republican primary? I'm sure we're going to get more names in the coming weeks and months, right?
Yeah, so it's slowly starting to take shape. Yesterday on Friday, Ted Dabrowski announced that he's running for governor. He's a kind of a conservative researcher who writes for this website called Wirepoint. The DuPage County Sheriff, Jim Mendrick, is running, and there's a guy from Lake Forest, Joe Severino, who also says he plans to run. So right now, once Darren gets into the race, it'll be up to four candidates. But, it just isn't the biggest exciting field that, you know, Republicans probably could have fielded. Darren, obviously, I think, becomes the front runner here because everyone in Illinois remembers him. He's very popular. He got 57% of the vote last time in the Republican primary. So, we'll see if we get somebody else in who can challenge him, at least maybe financially. Someone can, you know, make a dent against him.
Yeah. It was a crowded primary in some ways, and the name escapes me, and you'll know it. The Aurora mayor, who just lost his own election, if I'm not mistaken, this past spring, was involved in that race too and thought to be the favorite early on, but Darren Bailey pulled ahead.
Yeah, Richard Irvin was the guy receiving all the money. He had the backing of the Republican establishment here in Illinois, which a lot of those people are actually not in office anymore either. But Darren Bailey got in the race, and J.B. Pritzker's campaign started running anti-Darren Bailey ads, calling him too conservative, which ironically certainly helped Darren Bailey in a Republican primary, because in a primary, people are looking for the most conservative person on the Republican side. So, I don't know that we're going to see a repeat exactly of that, given I think everybody in the race is probably pretty conservative. We don't know much about the DuPage County Sheriff yet on all his politics, but we'll see. I think, Darren is still the front runner, even though, he was not the front runner in 2022. He comes into this race the guy to beat.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have kind of like circled Illinois as could it flip again. Obviously, Bruce Rauner won a statewide election as a Republican not all that long ago, although the entire political landscape in the country has changed on its head. But, Donald Trump did better, if I'm not mistaken, in 2024 than he did in 2020. And there's been thoughts about, I've heard from a lot of Republican friends and folks wondering, who could flip this state red? And not to say that one of these candidates couldn't do it. It's obviously a long way away. But maybe some of the names that I've heard floated as, that guy or gal might be the one that could bring some centrists along, is maybe not a name that I've heard yet. But again, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem, I think, for Illinois Republicans, is the people who I think could make a legitimate shot against J.B. Pritzker or another Democrat on the ballot just aren't getting into the race. I think they see the writing on the wall. They see it's such an uphill battle, and, they don't want to give up their seat in the General Assembly to go run for an office that they're probably going to lose anyway at a statewide level. So that's kind of what just seems to be keeping a lot of Republicans who probably actually would be competitive away from getting into this race.
Here in WGN 720, Ben Zielinski from Capital News, Illinois. All right, let's pivot a little bit. This threat of the National Guard has waxed and waned so many times in the city, and it's been the topic of conversation for the past couple of weeks. One interesting element of this is the president has called out Illinois for its cash bail, which has been in place for 2 years. We have talked ad nauseum on this program when it was debated, and then the Supreme Court of Illinois got involved for cash bail, and it was implemented nearly 2 years ago. Ben, can you just catch us up in 30 seconds? What is it? Just to remind people.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. The state has gotten rid of the old cash bail system where a judge would set your bond and you'd have to pay a certain portion of that to get out of jail in most cases. That system is completely gone. So now if you're arrested for a felony in most cases, you will go before a judge for a pretrial hearing. The judge will decide if you should be held in jail or not before your trial. And that's basically it. So there's no get out of jail by paying your way out, as advocates like to say.
Okay. The stats, do they bear out a spike in crime or a decline in people showing up for their court cases?
No, we really actually haven't seen any changes, especially in Cook County. Cook County has the best data on this. And, that data is showing that, as we've talked about, I think, over the last several days with this National Guard stuff, that crime in the city of Chicago itself is actually down this year. And people are continuing to show up to court. I think it's about 85 to 90% of people who are released pretrial are still showing up to their court appearances. And if they don't show up, judges in many cases will issue a warrant for a person to actually be compelled to come to court. And we're also not seeing a very high rate of people who are out on pretrial release committing new crimes. So it really doesn't seem like it has changed anything as far as jail populations or crime statistics in Illinois goes. It really is status quo. It's just a completely different process inside the courtroom.
That's not to say that there couldn't possibly be a situation where someone who may have been in jail is instead out and commits a crime. And, of course, that's heinous and horrific. And there's a lot of valid arguments on the other side. But that is the rule of law in the land here in Illinois. But President Trump signed an executive order late last month that essentially aimed to get Illinois to reverse its law by doing what? What's the carrot and the stick here?
It's actually pretty unclear what is the carrot and the stick. The president signed an executive order that, is designed to target states with cash bail by taking away federal funding. We know that's the stick, but we don't really know how the president intends to actually do that. The executive order doesn't say what federal funding would be taken away. Obviously, states are allowed to have their own, unique judicial system processes like Illinois does. So in a lot of ways, I think the state is kind of looking at this as just a toothless executive order. Now, of course, if the Trump administration goes and takes away some sort of federal funding, whatever the Justice Department deems that to be, I certainly expect that we'll see the state of Illinois sue back as they have in, I've lost track of how many cases now at this point in the times that the federal government has taken funding away.
Okay. Let's pivot to an interesting nugget you pulled from looking at the Enjoy Illinois campaign. A lot of the tourism push here in our state is centered around NASCAR events. That's, of course, been the story here in Chicago the last couple of years. But this is a broader state policy. Walk us through this.
Yeah, so Enjoy Illinois is the marketing arm. You've seen the commercials. You see it on the bus stops. You see it, on the signs everywhere in the state, basically, to promote tourism in Illinois. This is a national and international marketing campaign by the state. And part of that marketing effort has been to promote or help fund NASCAR races here in the state. So earlier this month, there was a race in the St. Louis area that was called the Enjoy Illinois 300. State spent about $800,000 to have the naming rights to that race. And that's really just designed to, be mentioned a lot on the broadcast. People know it as the Enjoy Illinois 300 race. And it's what the state is hoping is it's going to drive tourism to the state because they're going to search up what is Enjoy Illinois. And that's a website that has all these things to do in Chicago. And part of that marketing has also been to provide grant funding to the NASCAR race here in Chicago. The state, at least the first 2 years that the city held the race, provided grant funding directly to NASCAR to help set up and tear down the track, which we know was a pretty big expense and obviously a heavy lift for NASCAR in the city. So that grant funding, according to the state, is also designed to basically just help attract big events to the state. It demonstrates that the state is willing to help provide something that's going to attract visitors from all over the country to come. Obviously, it got big national TV numbers the very first year it happened, despite the rain. So the state kind of views NASCAR as just one of those other efforts out there that it can put money in towards to attract an audience that isn't necessarily inside the state.
Someone may look at a $44 million marketing budget for Enjoy Illinois, and that seems like an eye-popping number. I don't know what other states spend on tourism, and I'm not putting you on the spot that way, Ben. But I would imagine that advocates of these tourism programs say that the money brought in from these sponsored events or these sponsored opportunities are dwarfed by the revenue that ultimately comes into the state when you do convince people to come to the middle of everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And, the state has spent $7 million since 2022 on various things related to NASCAR. And in the scope of the state budget, $7 million is nothing. It's a very, very small portion of it. And the economic return is much bigger. So we know that in the greater St. Louis area, the state is spending less than $1 million to sponsor the race. The economic impact of that is around $60 million. The race has been sold out. At least the first year, it had pretty strong TV numbers. Chicago, we kind of saw the same deal. It had pretty strong numbers the first year on TV. Attendance wasn't quite as strong as it was down in St. Louis, but there was still lots of intrigue and obviously a ton of attention from people in the city. And According to the state's numbers and NASCAR's numbers, it's generated more than $100 million of economic activity. So, you know, the state views that as a pretty worthwhile investment because it brings in more tax revenue than the state's actually spending to make these events happen.
This is a John Hansen aside. I think some of those numbers are always a little, okay, we'll see. But I do, But I think that there can still be a payoff, even if it's not quite $100 million or whatever the number is. Ben, I really appreciate your time here on a Saturday evening joining us. I know you're a busy guy, and it's about to get busier for you. Please keep us posted on everything and keep up the great work at Capital News Illinois, okay?
Will do. Thanks for having me, John.